Welcome to Soul Time, a podcast devoted to preserving the folk wisdom and folk healing in its many variations. I'm Shantae, and I'm so happy you decided to join us. So I'm the founder of Soul Care U, an online university that focuses on empowerment and healing. I'm also the founder and creator of a Sacred Healers Apprenticeship Program. And this is a program that I created to support those who are called to the shamanic arts at the very beginning of their journey and ready to take one of those first steps into deepening and healing from the inside out. So my conversations with other healers started out as a way to bring my apprentices some information, a variety of healing modalities, and to see what other healers were doing in the community. I don't know everything, and I wanted my apprentices to really get a broad view of how they could begin to support their communities. So Soul Time was born because the interviews were so rich and so amazing, I wanted to share it with everyone. So thanks for joining me, and I look forward to you continuing to return and hear what we have to share. Peace and love. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. This is Shantae with Soul Time, and I'm excited today to talk with Ola Tokumbo Obasi. And she is a sister friend of mine that I met, it's been some years ago. We were at an herbal conference in Black Mountain, North Carolina. And we both did some different things there, and we just had a really great connection. And I'm excited to talk with her today, as she is a medicinal herbalist and a yoga instructor, a doula, and a number of other things that we're going to get into throughout our conversation today. But first, I just wanted to welcome Ola to the show.
Thank you, Shantae.
Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. So, Ola and I met at a Wise Woman Herbal Conference in North Carolina. Oh, I feel like it's been like 9 or 10 years.
Very
long time ago. And you were doing a, I call it like a women of color. It wasn't a red tent, or was it a red tent?
No, it's the Sister Love tent.
Sister Love tent.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it was a Sister Love tent, which was for the women of color at the conference to just bring a sense of camaraderie and connection and love. Mm-hmm. And I remember just kind of wandering in. I'm like, oh, I'm so happy this is here. And Ola and I just got to talking and sharing, you know, about our children, our family. Mm-hmm. And just over the years, we've just been able to maintain a connection thanks to, you know, social media, Facebook. Yes. We always see what we're doing. So when I heard that she was in Puerto Rico, and I've been following you for a long time since I met you, and I just have loved the growth and the expansion that you have done in your practice. It's really been inspirational, and definitely I learned so much, and keeps me connected to my roots. So
yes,
I'm really excited.
Yes,
excited to. Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you consider yourself, you describe yourself as a professional herbalist, mm-hmm. A nutrition professional, mm-hmm. and also a professional in sharing indigenous ways. Mm-hmm. And you have a school, Well of Indigenous Wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it focuses on herbal medicine and African diaspora, or mm-hmm. African cosmology.
Yes.
So tell us how you started, like how did you hear the call? Like, how old were you? Like, what's your story a little bit about getting started and sharing this wisdom?
Well, again, Shantae, thank you for this opportunity. And
You're welcome.
Been as much an inspiration to me as I think you feel for me. Your children, your sons are so handsome, and I have
thank you.
Their age. So I'm hoping that we'll do an arranged marriage or something, or just, like, not, you know, tell them that we're arranging it, but just put them in the same room and see.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I am totally in agreement.
We'll be like mother-in-laws, you know, and all that, and just grow together.
Yes, that would be wonderful. I actually think that's an amazing and wonderful idea. So yeah, I'm hoping we follow through.
Hey, a good family, right?
And that's then, right.
And you're one of your sons just is always cooking these beautiful, you know, baking, and one of my daughters loves to eat. So perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. As long as she can wash the dishes.
Yes, that's right.
So, the sister love tent several years ago, I don't even want to put a number on it, what came, you know, out of the need for people of color to have a place. What happened sometimes, or was happening at the time, these conferences, you have a lot of herbalists or people who are interested in herbalism who just attend and feel like there's a entitlement or some kind of elitist attitude around the knowledge and wisdom of herbalism, which is really not what herbalism is about. Herbalism is not about elitism. It's about community. And so I heard the concerns of the women, and I decided to just take it upon myself to connect with the director of the conference and create this. And I feel like the Sister Love Tent movement, if you will, including with the talking stick circles that I led, were very, very healing. And you know, and I did this consecutively for, I think, 3 or 4 years. And I after that, I decided not to continue for specific reasons. But I feel like that movement has brought a movement of, in herbalism, of decolonizing herbalism and all these awarenesses around African medicine or African diasporic medicine, herbal medicine. And I think that was a starting point, or at least the energy was there, rooted in that space and that conversation. So yeah, give thanks. So my work started in Africa. I'm African originally. My parents are Kenyan and Nigerian, but I grew up in East Africa. I grew up all over Africa. I had part of my childhood was spent in Tanzania. My parents lived in South Africa, Botswana. You know, I've spent a lot of time in different African countries. But I went to a boarding school when I was a kid, and which is very common with a lot of African children who are born into families that have the opportunities to go overseas to work. My parents were in diplomatic status, so they had the money to afford for me to go to a British boarding school. Bittersweet experiences there. I really learned about classism and discrimination and disowning your own indigenous ways to fit in with what you think the colonizer wants you to be, and trying to just be as the best you can in the eyes of the colonizer. At the time, I didn't have this language around this, but I don't know, I had the energy of it, you know, and I wore an afro, I listened to Bob Marley, I listened to Lucky Dube, and I was very pro-black, pro-Afrocentric, you know, and I would always wear out my African clothes. The other kids wouldn't do that much. I was wearing braids, I didn't like to press my hair or wear relaxer. So I would say that was cultivated out of my grandparents. As a child, when I was not in boarding school, would have maybe 3 months of break. I would spend time with my grandma in the rural areas, what we would call the village, where my grandma at the time was still staying in literally a mud hut. and we were cooking from wood fires, and we were going to get our waters from spring holes and carrying buckets on our heads back, and we were planting, and we lived with the cows and the sheep and the chickens, you know, and we would go once a week to the market walking to buy whatever market people would bring once a week and trade. Yeah. So I learned a lot from my grandma walking barefoot, and just the conversations we had. I would ask her how things were before modernization in Kenya, and also my grandfather. So I must have been around eight or nine, and I would observe in our village how medicine was made. I was particularly inspired by eucalyptus, which is my first plant. Knowing about the medicine of this plant because it was used at the time for inhalation. It was a lot of malaria and coughs and colds in the village. So medicine man was using this to heal people. And so from there, I also had a lot of experience with stories from my grandfather. My grandfather spoke English fluently. So did my grandmother. They were very educated. And my grandfather loved to read, but he was unfortunately a broken spirit. He had he drank a lot, so he was always drunk by the evening. He'd leave in the mornings and come back drunk in the evening, and a complete mess. I mean, staggering, smelling awful because he's probably passed urine on himself. Just kind of situation. And he had cataracts in his eyes. He was very, very broken and scary to me.
Yeah.
So one time he called me. I'm named after his mother. And he called me to his room, the section of the house that he was, or the hut that he was staying. And he asked me to bring him a cup of tea. And I did, and I ran away. And he kept asking me, "Why are you always running away from me? You're named after my mother. You need to, you know, I want to connect with you." And he said this in our language, traditional language. And I told him, "You're just so scary. You know, you're drunk. You look, your eyes look horrible. Your hands look stiff. And I just don't want to connect with you." And you know, children are so honest, right?
Yes.
And so he said, "Come here." And so I came in, and he said, "Let me tell you why." And I sat on his lap, and he told me, and he told me that there was a long time ago, he was a very wealthy man, wealth through land, and the British took his land, fertile land, that he was growing maize and all kinds of crop that the people eat, and they took his land, and so he decided to join the Mau Mau freedom fighters in Kenya, and he did. And at some point, he was caught, him and his friends, and so they detained him. They came to the house, the British people came to the house and with rifles and took him. And he was never seen again by my family, his wife, my grandma, and my... And, you know, my mother and her siblings for 10 years. And while he was in detention, he was hang on ropes and he was whipped continuously. So his hands were stiff because the rope cut through his hands every time he was whipped. And so his hands literally looked like he was holding onto a rope. They never moved. They were stiff like that. Like they stayed that way. And so when he left, finally, when he left and from detention, and he was very lucky because a lot of his compadres were assassinated. So he left, and he, you know, he just wasn't the same. He was broken. His spirit was broken. I don't know what else happened, but I can imagine the torture, psychological torture, physical torture of a grown man who once had, you know, who has family and once had land and in his homeland, there's nowhere else to go. So he had this, you know, this spirit of revolution, but he was caught and broken. That spirit was broken. And so he succumbed to alcohol. So my work comes from this kind of background where my grandmother was into birthing and midwifery and planting and healing and community building. She took care of everyone in the community. Even older people would call her mama. You know, hey, mama, how are you? And they would bring her gifts, give them gifts. She would take care of them. She would reach into her bra and take out some money. And
Yes.
Tell them, sit down. Let me make you a cup of tea. Tell me your story. What's going on? So I came from that background. And then also the background of my grandfather, who was like a freedom fighter, and he told me, don't let anyone break your spirit. Just keep going. You stay strong and fight for your rights and always fight for what you think is just. Even, you know, fight for the people, fight for yourself, for what you think is just. So that's how my work as a herbalist has become cultivated from a lot from this background.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my goodness. I'm sitting here like holding on like I'm on a ride. And I'm like, oh, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And
I feel right.
Yes, that is amazing. And I didn't know that. I didn't know your parts of your story, that part of your story. So, wow. I just have to pause for a moment just to kind of like take that in. Something you mentioned broken spirit and you mentioned revolutionary spirit. And I know I tend to talk that way as well. When I'm working with someone, or I'm looking at someone, I kind of see as their story unfolds, what spirit there happened to be kind of working with or walking with. And I'm wondering, does that tie into how you share the African wisdom with your clients and how you bring that into your practice? So I wondered if you could kind of talk about that, how you bring that African cosmology into helping the community.
Right. Yeah. So I do say African because so I do work with African cosmology, even though Africa is a huge continent with a diverse amount of languages, I mean, thousands and thousands of languages and cultures and people, all kinds of people. I haven't been to every part of Africa, but being half West African and half East African and having lived in South Africa, I've seen a lot of Africa and met a lot of different kinds of African people. And so I've the African cosmology comes from that versus Kenyan cosmology or Nigerian, which even I can't say that because now you have like different kinds of Nigerians, you know, Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, you know, you've got different kinds of people. So what I did with the wisdom, African cosmology wisdom, is study and bring together the foundation, simplify it, if you will, even though it's not too simple, but bring it together and find where everything meets and use that cosmology to, as a template to work with clients and to work with the community. And I found that when I did that, it actually synergizes with other cultural cosmologies, indigenous cosmologies, whether you're Native American or Asian, Chinese, Indian, Maorian, it doesn't matter. I found that there was a consensus, if you will, of how this cosmology works. It's very similar. It's different languages, maybe different colors or different, slightly different placements because environments are different, but the cosmology works. So what is the cosmology, or what is cosmology? Cosmology in itself is, to me, I understand it as like the indigenous story, the indigenous beginning, the indigenous foundation of people. And it's usually like plants or like the earth. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. You start with soil, then a simple looking seed. It's so small. It looks like it can't even grow into this pink flower.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in the ground, and then it starts to sprout, and then it just gets this complex fractals to it. And all of a sudden you have this flower, and then you have other flowers, and then it produces seeds and it carries on.
Yes.
That's what cosmology is. It's a very simple, the simple foundation that has the potential to become this huge fractal that will spread.
Mm.
So I do bring that into my consultations,
yeah,
my presentations. My lifestyle is around cosmology. This cosmology, it's
yes,
about healing from this truth, this wisdom that is true. It's about centering. It's about focusing. It's about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, observation too.
Yeah.
So it's very, it would be complicated for me too.
Yes.
So much more on this, but this is the basic foundation of what the cosmology is about. And African cosmology, I use this because I am African and because mm-hmm. it's what I feel most comfortable with. I feel more connected, obviously, too.
Yeah. You know?
So I use the tools of African cosmology to help heal people. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love that. And it's very, you know, similar. I often will, you know, I'll talk about ancient wisdom or mm-hmm. indigenous wisdom. And really it's just through studying many different cultures
mm-hmm.
and finding those common threads
mm-hmm.
and finding, like you say, finding the overlap
mm-hmm.
and then being able to share that. And I believe everyone is indigenous. That's just my mm-hmm. view. Mm-hmm. Everyone is indigenous. We all are indigenous to mm-hmm. this earth,
mm-hmm.
which makes us indigenous. And so mm-hmm. tapping into those, to that remembrance
mm-hmm.
for me is very important in helping others tap into their own remembrance. So mm-hmm. I love your descriptive words. I'm like, oh, I just love her descriptive words. I'm falling in love with how she talks. It's just really, I can really see the picture mm-hmm. when you talk. And so I'm curious, I know I have my own ideas about this, but what are mm-hmm. your ideas about why you think African cosmology is not more mainstream? Mm-hmm. Like we don't see it in the online, like when you tap in, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you Google something, you either get Native American, traditional Chinese medicine. Those are pretty mm-hmm. much the only two that come mm-hmm. up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious as to why you think mm-hmm. that there's an absence mm-hmm. of African cosmology
mm-hmm.
in our mainstream.
Yeah. Well, I guess it could be two things. Two factors. One could be because Africa is so vast,
yeah.
Where do you begin? Which African cosmology do you begin with?
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. it's so different from, you know, like Chinese, for instance, or Indian work, medicine. The entire country or regions, because Indian can, you know, the Ayurvedic, for instance, can overlap mm-hmm. into and other neighboring countries. So there is the entire area region practices in a very similar way. I'm not saying exact way, but similar.
Mm-hmm.
Way.
Yeah.
But with African cosmology, because of the languages and the variations, it can be difficult
yeah.
to bring it all in one place. So I think what would be good is maybe creating African cosmology from the diverse areas. Like, I know there is a medicine man, Malidoma Somme. He works mm-hmm. a lot with with African cosmology and arts. And he's using the Dagara, which is the culture he's from in Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we had, let's say, like Dagara medicine, for instance, then Yorubic medicine, then, you know, some Egyptian medicine and, you know, Zulu medicine, like under the African cosmology, maybe that would work.
Yeah.
So the other factor is, so with that said, perhaps it's because of the vastness, the variety that we don't even know where to, how to bring it all together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm thinking about is Africa has been, inverted commas, raped so much and still is being raped of knowledge and minerals and the earth and the people and children, you know.
Yeah.
So on literally people are being raped, boys, young girls, and then you also have the land and the knowledge and wisdom and, you know, special and important ceremonial artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the medicine keepers know this and tend to be the fulcrum of empowerment in their community and know this. They keep this wisdom to themselves and don't want to share it with the world because that would just completely tear everyone up.
Yeah.
So, and also be capitalized and, you know, just be misused.
Yeah.
African cosmology has, in the healing arts, has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying power. I'm not saying good or bad, just power.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think there is also some hesitation with sharing that with everyone without an apprenticeship or without understanding how to use that power in a good way for the highest good.
Right.
So that may be another reason. I'm not really sure, Shante, but these are my guesses.
Yes, those are your thoughts. Yes, and that's really all it was. It was like, I just want to get, you know, other perspectives, especially coming from someone who is African.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always get that in our small circles.
Yeah.
We tend to kind of not have, sometimes our circles aren't very diverse and it just, you know, it just is how it is sometimes. And so, so when I have opportunities to talk with people from other places and other cultures, it's important that, I want them to share their perspective. That doesn't mean it's everyone's perspective. It's just your perspective.
Yeah.
So, so thank you for that. Yes, I enjoy Maladoma Somme and I enjoy his work and I've been kind of studying his things for a good many years as well.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Sobhonfu.
Yes.
I enjoy both of them.
The lake.
Yes.
The lake. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I really enjoy that. So you're now in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So tell us, because some of us are so far removed. We were very up into Puerto Rico, you know, after Hurricane Maria. But now that it's been, you know, several months, many of us are kind of back to our lives. And, you know, every now and again, we might get a blip on the screen about what's going on. So what is what's happening there that you're able to see? That's the first part of the question. It's kind of like, what's happening there in Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico is a beautiful island. I'm looking outside the window right now, just to give an example. I have these beautiful trees blowing in the wind, and I have on the left side, and then right in front of me, I have this beautiful ocean, which connects with the ocean to Florida, and of course, first Dominican Republic, Haiti, and then into up to Florida, the Gulf.
Mm.
So it's such a beautiful place. This island is so captivating. I feel connected here. I must say that I'm connected perhaps I've been coming here for seven-ish years, and I was adopted here in the Taino ceremonial grounds. And so there is an adoption I have here. So this is a home for me also. Of course, it's no home like the one I have in Africa, but this one is,
yes,
this will do for now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my work here has always been spiritual work. I've come here for, like I said, 7 years, and I've been living here for about a year and a half now. And it's been to heal myself predominantly. And now I'm working with healing others and supporting the community. So after Hurricane Maria, you know, as you know or heard, there was a lot of trauma on the earth. The trees protected the people, protected us here. They sacrificed themselves to protect us. So trees were all, a lot of trees were thrown down by the hurricane. A lot of trees stood their ground to protect us. And the infrastructure, you know, a lot of the infrastructure is destroyed here.
Yeah.
What is most disheartening for me, and I just posted on Facebook an article about the suicide rates in the island. Yeah. I'm speaking and I'm trying not to be too emotional, but why not? It's very hard. I work with people in the rural areas, in a place called Haihuya. And, for instance, the last clinic I had, because I've been working with Herbalists Without Borders, been receiving donations from kind herbalists and people in the United States who've been sending packages via Herbalists Without Borders International to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take those medicines and I make more medicine from them for the people in the clinic. And I had people who are in abusive relationships where being beaten up, they don't have room to breathe. I have people who the only relative they had, for instance, there's a young man, he was actually adopted by an elder.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't even really his real true blood parent, but this was his, he called him his grandfather. He died during the hurricane on the couch. And this man must be about 21, 22.
Yeah.
He has no one. Just, you know, I asked him, where is his family? He said he doesn't have his family. He doesn't talk to his family. He doesn't know where they are. He left them when he was little. This older man adopted him and then just died, you know, during the hurricane. And can you imagine this man has to deal with this man who's passed away on the couch during the hurricane? You know, what are you going to do with the body? Where do you begin?
Mm-hmm.
So he was in tears, and he adopted a young boy. So he had a young boy with him on his lap, a 5-year-old. So he's just like carrying on the adoption.
Yes.
I think it's great. I'm so happy to see that. But, I have people who work with children who see all kinds of displacement, emotional issues. The children are being abused, and they try to work and support and protect the children, but it's so hard for them, you know, and they can't cry. So there's a lot of depression, and in these rural areas, you're not having psychologists, you're not having, you know, people helping with mental health, mental health, like post-traumatic stress. Nobody is coming there. So I see myself, I mean, I'm just one person hoping to expand, you know, and campaigning for that so I can have volunteers and or train people. But as a healer, you know how we are as healers. We don't just bring our herbs and take this herb and buy. You know, we listen to people's stories. We work on finding ways to heal them through our words, through our thoughts, through our intuition, through spiritually.
Yes.
And so in a way that is, I'm not claiming that to be psychology, but in a way that is working with the psyche and helping with mental health problems.
Yes.
So it's such an important role to do healing work because it yes. covers so many areas of professions. If there's none available, why not? You know, why not?
Absolutely.
So that's how I see myself. You can imagine when I go there, it's like people are lined up waiting
yes.
for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to have someone to talk to.
Yes.
Just to have yes. someone to talk to. And then I can create these remedies that help at least with nervousness or anxiety or, you know, other, you know, relaxation
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
sleep. People don't sleep. So at least I have my herbal medicines to do that, but I also listen to their stories and I say, okay, take this, do this this time, you know, give them the instructions. But they
yes.
look forward to seeing me. That's the
yes.
best. There's no one else there.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And I yeah. think that's something that we don't think about culturally here in the West. We don't think about when these tragedies and devastations happen, we don't think about the mental health.
Mm-hmm.
We think about, oh, well, you know, maybe no food, maybe no water, or it's getting there. You know, oh, well, they have electricity. Oh, I see cars are driving on the road now. But we don't think about that stress, that post-traumatic stress, that trauma mm-hmm. that was just mm-hmm. experienced. And now mm-hmm. it's not just one person or one family going mm-hmm. through, you know, oh, we lost our house. It's an entire
right.
population. It's an entire island.
Communities, yeah.
Entire communities of trauma.
Yes.
And without that support in the mental health area,
right.
it just continues.
Yeah.
It just grows. It grows like a monster.
Yes.
And that's why I'm such a proponent, especially of herbalist
mm-hmm.
and other just light worker healers or just those healing in the spiritual arts to understand their responsibility. But it's not just, oh, I'm just going to give you a reading, or I'm just going to give you some mm-hmm. herbs, or I'm just going to, you know, just give. It's the counseling that has to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ability to be able to sit with this pain
mm-hmm.
and not throw some passion flower on it and
right.
think that that's all that they need.
Right.
Right. So important. I'm so happy you brought that up.
Yes.
Because I feel there's kind of what you talked about in the beginning, that that elitist mm-hmm. attitude
mm-hmm.
In the herbalism mm-hmm. field and in
mm-hmm.
the healer of the spiritual arts field that thinks that you don't have to sit with this pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That it'll just magically go away because I gave you an herbal remedy, or I gave you a yoga set to do,
mm-hmm.
or saying, you know, I'll just go up there and just say it, saying, you know, oh, well, I'm a shaman, and so just do this ceremony and you'll be okay.
Right.
And
right.
it's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
The role of a shaman or a medicine person is far more than just giving somebody a piece of paper to follow instructions, or just like showing them something in a session that they pay you $400 for.
Yes.
I feel like that's way too much, but anyway. And then, you know, saying, okay, go ahead. You know,
yeah.
I do not call myself a shaman. I believe that I am a medicine woman. I used to refused to be called that, but mm-hmm. I realized, as particularly being on the island and being counseled by elders here, that I am a medicine woman, so I need to
Absolutely.
Own that and speak that into power.
Absolutely.
And that is working day and night.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I have clients or students or people who've come here and apprenticed with me, or I apprenticed somewhere else, and they're on my mind at my altar in the morning. If they show up on my mind, I'm tuning in with that, and
yes.
I'm sending out a prayer or a thought or checking in with them. That my work never ends.
That's
never
right.
Ends.
That's medicine, right. Oh.
Medicine woman or person, medicine man.
Yes. So
it's not about, you know, you come see me for an hour, I give you this and bye bye. No.
Yes. No. No. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you said that. Well, and, you know, one of the reasons why I started these Soul Time Talks is because I have a group of students or apprentices that I work with. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to get a wide variety mm-hmm. of what this looks like mm-hmm. from a number of different people. Mm-hmm. And it just turned out the conversation was so rich. I'm like, oh, I think everyone would love, you know, mm-hmm. conversations like this. Mm-hmm. But it's so true. You know, I will only work with a certain number every year because yes. it's never ending for me.
Yes.
It's
yes.
If I'm in my dream time and mm-hmm. one of my students shows up, mm-hmm. I'm getting up praying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
or like, are you sending a text? I tell you, some people think I'm like, they're like, hola, are you not asleep? You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, like, are you okay? Is everything good? I'm just checking in, you know, send me a note, you know, so the responsibility, I don't know if there would be as many shaman or medicine people if they knew the responsibility or really were in line with the heaviness and the responsibility yes. that it takes to yes. do this work. It's a lot.
It is a lot of work. Absolutely. Mm. So speaking of the work, I was thinking about when I called you to reach out, because Spirit says, call Ola. She's going to be great to be on your program. I said, okay. And when I called you, you were like, oh, you don't thank me, thank Spirit. And so I was just listening. And you were on your way. You're like, oh, yes, I'm on my way to do ceremony with, I think it was with some sacred trees, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted you to touch on the importance of sacred ritual on the land, mm-hmm. What it does mm-hmm. for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't with trees, but I was on my way. I was invited by a community in a town about an hour away from here, actually less than an hour, but my godmother and I were invited there, my Taino godmother and I were invited there and to bless the land.
Okay.
Because they're building, and you can check this, or listeners can also look this up and support this work with the Earthship mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, Earthship PR. It's a family, beautiful family, hoping to attend the birth of the mother of the home. She's with child, and they are beekeepers. They have Taino soy, which is a beekeeping, bee work, mm-hmm. work. Mm. And so they invited me and my godmother to go do a ceremony, to hold a blessing, to hold ceremony for the community there. There's hundreds of volunteers there, mm-hmm. at least it seemed like. And so we went to create to bless the space. And, you know, very raw, very mud, water, you know, earth blessing. We worked with the ancestors through mm-hmm. the face of the stones from the nearby river and you know, just honored the directions and whatever spirit asked us to do. So ceremony is important because it was important, as this young family knew, it was important to hold ceremony and to bless that space. Because ceremony brings people together. All the volunteers mm-hmm. are included in this work. And it's through their hands that these earthships are being built. So ceremony is identifying and acknowledging the energy, not just the physical energy, but the intentional energy that these volunteers, whether they knew or not, mm-hmm. are spiritually contributing to the land, are contributing to the many, many others who will come. So ceremony is about creating a matrix for for holding the blessing and the sacred intention of that moment in that space. Mm. It's held in a matrix. That's the importance of ceremony. And then since that intention is held in that sacred intention is held in that matrix, it will be a space, almost like a vortex space, or it will have an energy about it, an elevated energy about it that yeah. will help to touch every single life, mm-hmm. whether it's an animal or a bird, people, whatever it is. So this space in particular, for instance, is a space that anyone can go to and sit in that space mm. when they're feeling upset or mm-hmm. Wanting to have a birth there or whatever it is they want to do that's sacred, and just be in that matrix. And absolutely. Somehow the phenomena of how the mystery of how that love and that intention and that spiritual blessing just transforms life. That's what ceremony is about. Yes. Ceremony is about bringing people together in one heart to create a matrix to say, here, we're planting a matrix right there in that moment, in that time. Mm-hmm. Hold that sacred intention of love and of inspiration, of empowerment, of all these beautiful things that are intended at the moment through spirit mm-hmm. for the sake of everyone else, for the sake of all life. Mm. Yeah, so that is the importance of ceremony. That yes. is what ceremony is about. Ceremony is very, very important and very useful and life-changing.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. we need to do more ceremony. It's actually very cliche now,
It is. It is very cliche, which is why I wanted you to expound on it, because again, mm-hmm. I feel in some ways there's a McDonaldizing mm-hmm. Indigenous. Mm-hmm. And it's important to speak with people, mm-hmm. healers, medicine people mm-hmm. that are authentic and true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And have a deeper resonance and understanding mm-hmm. that it's just not about sharing information.
Right, right. You know? It isn't about sharing. It's about surrendering to spirit. And ceremony begins always with whatever tradition. So whatever indigenous wisdom or cosmology that you honor, one honors, you begin mm-hmm. it that way, because that yeah. is the way the indigenous has taught us. And yes. that's the simple, that's the earth, the soil I spoke about and the seed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows you have to put a seed in the soil for it to grow. Yes. So you've got to follow that. It's a template. But what happens after that, the template is drawn like a medicine wheel. Whatever yes. happens within the template, within the medicine wheel, is through spirit.
Yes.
That's not intellectualized or, bullet points. No, it's just, you just follow spirit. It's not for everyone, of course. It's not mm-hmm. for everyone to lead this.
But yes.
it's for those medicine people who are called to do this, who
yes.
are called by spirit, by the way, and then mm-hmm. the community recognizes them for that. That all too is important.
Yes.
And then it's closed, because the template must be closed. So the matrix is there within that template that was set.
Yeah.
You close a circle in the ceremony and everybody knows, okay, we intended that. The matrix is there. We can go in and out of it to receive what we need to receive and carry yes. on.
Yes. Yes. So what I love, and just while we're talking, I see that web. Right. Mm-hmm. And I see that connection. And having this that we're doing right now, this sharing that mm-hmm. we're having mm-hmm. is helping to connect us, you and I.
Yes.
Even more so. And so the ceremony that I do right in my backyard at my medicine wheel, and when I invite the women to come mm-hmm. and we share in mm-hmm. the sacred ceremony, mm-hmm. because our strands have been strengthened, it's now connected. Mm-hmm. It's connected even stronger. So yes. what you do there, I feel here. Mm-hmm. And what I do here, you feel there. Mm-hmm. And all those other connections that you have throughout the world, they feel it. And the connections that I have, they now are more connected into what you're doing there. And that truly is how we heal the world.
Yes, absolutely. It propagates, eh?
Yes.
It's not just for the inside group, you know?
Yes.
And that's why I was speaking about this elitist thing, because the conference and other conferences that I've attended, you know, it's like only for the elite. Mm-hmm. You know, this ceremony is closed. No, it's very much, of course, there's sometimes you need to hold specific ceremonies and
right.
understood. But the intention of the ceremony, like you said, yes, it propagates. It's like that saying that the flapping of the wings of the butterfly in the Amazon mm-hmm. resonates with the entire planet, right?
Yes.
And so it's subtle, yet powerful and important and impactful for all of life, all of
yes.
life.
Yes.
Oh.
And so it is. Woo! Yes. I'm just loving going deeper and deeper. But at some point, I know we have to end. And yeah. definitely we'll have to have you back again. So what's next for you? What's on the horizon for you? If there's anything that you want to share as we close.
Yeah. Well, you know, currently working with Herbalists Without Borders as a volunteer and as a coordinator for the entire island. Mm. I'd like to spread out to other parts of the island. I would love for people to support. We need money. We need funding to do this work. And if people can support I would love it. Because then, mm-hmm. like we've been talking about, you know, I can hold a lot of trainings, help a lot of people who are in this mental illness or imbalance state, and bring them into their power.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to fundraise right now, and okay. I want to have volunteers. There are people who are connecting with me to volunteer. I cannot just have any volunteers, so I'm screening that, because mm-hmm. I just don't want to have more work for myself, and some people
right.
are more work than being able to just give and offer.
Yeah.
And my biggest passion right now always has been, you know, but right now I'm really going for it, is the youth. My goal is, I'm looking for youth, young people, you know, teenagers, just young, 20 in their 20s. I'm looking for them. I'm like, come here, mm-hmm. let me teach you something.
Yes.
You know, you said you have a grandma who's a healer. Come on, come, let's hang out. Come spend
yes.
a night in my house. Let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the youth. I want the youth so much to work with me. And so that's what I'm working on right now. I just had a young woman come to my house yesterday with her boyfriend. She's a student at the local university here,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to be working with me, work exchange, she and another young man. You know, the work exchange is 10 hours of doing some work for me, particularly translating in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
Since my Spanish is not that good. And just other things, herbal stuff, you know,
right.
healing stuff. And I want to be with them. I want to mentor them.
Yeah.
You know, and I just picked them at the marketplace where I vend, and just said, hey, I'm looking for a young person like you. How old are you? I'm this and that. Okay, come on. I want you to come back. Phone number.
Yes.
You know, and at the marketplace too, we have a local market here, and I vend. sell mm-hmm. a lot of my stuff, but they're all the teenagers come to me because I just call them, you know, I'm like, come here. And so many have different traumas in their life. And I'm just like, okay, I'm listening to them. I'm like, take my number. If you ever need me to pick you up, I'll come and get you, you know, and just, you know, talking to them and helping them sort out their thoughts because they're in that transitional phase. You know how.
Yes, I know. So I know.
But I love them. I, you know, people say teenagers are tough. I just love the tough
yes.
of mm-hmm. them, you know, because I listen and I hear what they're not saying or mm-hmm. what they're saying, but they don't, they're really trying to say. And so I like to help them with their thought process.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, I never thought of that. Oh, yeah, okay. And they help me too. They teach me so much.
Yes.
So I'm that's my passion right now is working with the youth and helping the people on the island, hopefully through, you know, getting more funds so I can have right. more clinics around the island.
Yes.
I'm also working with my school. I'm training people. I start classes tomorrow.
Nice.
So I have about like 10 students. I'm grateful. I told them that, look, we're doing this so you can contribute to the island. They're all just about all local Puerto Ricans, which is mm-hmm. what I wanted. My classes are very low fee just so they can afford, so they can come.
Right.
So that's what I'm currently doing. I am also open to apprentices and, mm-hmm. you know, apprenticeships and mentorships. So some people do come to visit me. They stay with me. We do some work together from the U.S., particularly. Mm-hmm. Some people come from other islands as well. Community building, just keeping on like that, you know, just keep on community building, community empowerment, community awareness and awakeness.
Yes. Thank you. That's a lot. You're busy.
Yes, I am busy.
You're like busy. Yes. Well, I will be sure to have your links. I know you shared your Well of Indigenous Wisdom link, so you'll have that on the description of our conversation, as well as your website, Facebook. I'm even going to include the PayPal link for donations.
Thank you.
So that you can continue the work.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we'll just keep continuing to build. Keep building community and healing. That's what we're here for. Oh,
well,
my goodness.
Bless you with your work. And I want to see
you
carry on being strong in your work and your, you know, doing whatever community work you're doing and healing and medicine keeping. And I want for you as I want for myself, and I want for myself as I want for you. So bless your family. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I just enjoyed it, and I enjoy you and keeping up with your work as well, and bless you so much.
Thank you. I receive. Oh, thank you so much, those who joined us today for our conversation in Soul Time with Ola. She is amazing, and be sure to check out her website, her Facebook. Donate if you're feeling called. Reach out to me if you need to, if you want to apprentice and need me to make that personal connection. I will definitely do that as well. So thank you again for joining.
Blessings.
All right, blessings.
Take care.